hillbilly heart beats tender and warm down in the Ozarks back on the farm.
Come on in and set a spell, neighbors. Here's that lovable first lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord. Good morning, Mae.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you so much. I paid off my debts to Jim this morning. I brought him some watermelon preserves.
Boy.
Debt all settled, Jim?
Yes.
All settled. I heard Jim said some nice words about me. Well, my son heard it. I didn't know it. I don't know what he said. I don't know what he could find anything good to say about me, but he did. And anyway, well, how have you liked the hot weather? It's as cool here, early this morning, as cool as winter nearly. And boy, what a relief. We surely have been having hot days, believe me. I want to say to those whom I owe very important answers to letters, I have not been able to keep up with the answering, but I'm going to now. I'm trying to put in a great deal of tomorrow replying to important mail in several places across the country to you, who have asked me things, and to the lady in Aurora especially, and I expect to answer about 50 or 60 letters tomorrow. If I made enough salary to hire a secretary, it'd be great, so I could lie in bed and just lie there in my pillows and dictate answers, and that's that. But I'm just not a big enough guy. When one's on radio once a week, one doesn't make any real salary. It's just a per-minute pay for the small time one works. But I've not wanted to go on oftener. I think I might be very burdened with it. I love it as it is this way, and has been this way for a good many years. And everybody else likes it that way, and so on. You can't overdo a thing, you know, once a week. You know, a lot of people have a funny idea of radio. They think if you're on radio, you must be piling up money and burying it in an old tin can somewhere in the backyard. Yes, sir, you must be making... It's the truth. Jim, that's the truth. They often say to my son, well, I guess your ma makes an awful lot of money. Well, radio doesn't pay like that. When I was on radio in St. Louis every day in the week, but Saturday, I got $100 a week, and that was top pay for 15 minutes a day. Nobody in the city got any more. I suppose our big news commentators on the networks and even our men here who run every day, to whom we have listened so long, get pretty big pay. And of course, their work is very hard and highly competitive. And it's a lot depends on them. You just don't have any idea. They can put their foot in it any old time, put their foot in their big mouth any time. You have no idea of the taboos of radio. Anyway, it all goes to say this. I get so wrought up sometimes because the general idea has been around for years that I'm a widder with a lot of money. Do you know that, Jim?
No, I didn't.
Henry, what do you say? Oh, I'm so grateful to Henry. He's such a comfort to me, and I am more than grateful to the fine Herman Lohmeyer Undertaking Company that has let him bring me to work for 16 years, and they don't owe me a penny. Isn't it wonderful? But I notice there are people who do. When I want some real poor person taken care of or something, I go to them. I know where to go. Yep. And I love them. Well, anyway, I don't like the idea that I'm a widow with a lot of money. And also that I inherited a lot of money. Well, I wonder where from. Makes me so mad I could bust. Some way it seems to me a sort of reproach. Recently, I heard of a woman saying of me that, in a catty sort of way, well, Mae McCord just gets by on her money. She thinks she could never turn a hand and get by on her money. Well, besides laughing myself sick over that, and you don't know what a big laugh that is, it made me mad as a wet hen. And did you ever see a wet hen? Well, I have. I hate to have such a thing said, and here I am telling my private peeves and airing my affairs. I'd like to see anybody get by on radio with money or get by anywhere else in this old world except at the grocer's. And as the old saying used to go, the baker, what is it? The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. That's the only place you get by with money. Oh, well, just remember, I'm no rich widder. I wish I were. Oh, I'd do a lot of things for folks. Believe me, I would. I barely... Henry says I wouldn't have it 5 minutes, and I guess I wouldn't. I just barely skin through with the skin of my teeth like the rest of you. And as Vance Randolph wrote me recently in one of his silly moods, you ought to see one of Vance's letters. He says, May, no money for taxes, six hogs dead, no water hot. That's the truth, Vance. No money for taxes, six hogs dead, no water hot. Oh, well, I had such a nice visit yesterday from my new friends, yet my old friends, Mr. and Miss Kirby Williams from Chandler, Oklahoma. They came to see me one time about 10 years ago. Delightful people, like people who sometimes drop into my home and drop into my heart and into my life forever. They're the kind of people you love. And we have clung to each other all these years. They're visiting relatives in Mountain Grove this morning, and I want to say good morning to them. All my love in gobs and gallons, and another big kiss for both of you. You know, I kissed both of them. Sure did. Do it again when I get a chance. You know, Mr. Williams Kirby, he's my boyfriend. Well, do come again, even if I don't get down there this fall in Oklahoma. But believe me, I've long been due a visit in Oklahoma, and I'm going to try to go. I'm going to go if I have to thumb my way. You can thumb your way. That's one good thing. But no, the latest thing is hijacking. If there were any airplanes running from here or there, maybe I could hijack one. Of course, the women haven't started it yet. I'll wait till the women start it. I believe it's because they can't grow a beard. You've got to have one of those owl nests, you know, like Castro. Say, ladies, wouldn't you love to be tangled up with that thing, for instance, as Uncle Luke says, for instant? Do you ever read Uncle Luke in the Greene County Medical Journal? We have a really fine medical journal issued here each month. I wonder if you know that. I wrote for it for about 4 years under the name of Ridge Runner Doc. Dr. Cole got me to. Dr. Cole is dead now. Then I finally quit the writing, but I have always got the journal each month. They send it to me, and I enjoy it immensely. Dr. Woolridge is the editor, and he's a case. And this morning I had a card from, you know, Aunt Alice Lowe. Aunt Alice, nothing. She's young and pretty, but then she's Aunt Alice Lowe on the radio, you know. They've been down in my home country of Galena, so she dropped me a card. Missy and Cindy and Arch. Oh, they're lovely people. My love to you, if they say they always listen to me. My love to you if you're listening in this morning. Maybe you're listening in on your car. That's the way they're listening in down at Mountain Grove. Well, I don't seem to settle down to say anything worth listening to. I want to say hello to the Berry Tour people before I forget it on their way back from their trip over our lovely Ozarks. God bless you, and do come back again, as I told you last Saturday night at the Kentwood Arms. We want you to come and stay, bring your feather bed like they used to, and just stay. You know, in the old days, if you saw anybody coming, toting a feather bed, you knew they were coming to live with you. Maybe for always. Yes, they used to come bring their clothes and their feather bed. And people used to take you in and maybe keep you until death, particularly the Short family, Dewey Shorts people. My, they've taken in old ladies that didn't have anybody. One old lady hardly knew her name or knew where she's born or where she came from. Here she came with her feather bed and the few little clothes she had and stayed and was one of the family and worked and loved them till she died and they buried her. What a spirit of love and hospitality once draped these old Ozark hills in a warm, heartfelt love. I'm afraid of a lot of it is gone forever. Not all of it, no, but it's passing. And that reminds me of the beautiful poem written by our great poet, retired editor after 50 years and living at West Plains, Charles Iden. He said, there are so many old things that we should not forget, the yellow rose and blue flags and dainty mignonette. Excuse me. The ice wool shawls so lovely, And those fascinators, too. Do you remember the fascinators we wore? Boot jacks and nutmeg graters and rag carpets red and blue. The old hymns like Old Hundred the old folks used to sing. Those old things near forgotten, what memories they bring. Among the lovely old things, the spinning wheels and looms that lent so much of comfort to those old living rooms. There was the big old Bible with pages where they wrote the weddings, births, and dyings, and some historic note. Those plain old-fashioned sermons, the honesty of men. We somehow need the old things to set us right again. Yes, indeed. Is that the truth? I wonder if even the old things would set us right again. We somehow need the old things to set us right again. That's a wonderful line. I'll tell you what we need right now is prayer. You know, I'm a terrific believer in it. I can't exactly explain why, but I experience. I'm like the little old lady that beat her breast and she said, I have had an experience. Well, so have I. I wonder why America couldn't set aside a day for fasting and going to our knees right now, as the world is on the verge of being blown into ashes. Prayer is as strong a force as gravity, so said one of our greatest scientists. You know, people have always thought of scientists as unbelievers in the great unseen, but they're not. They're the greatest believers. There is no estimating what prayer, at the same hour, the prayer of 50 million people in America could do. Imagine it. It might shake us to our foundations and show us a way out. God knows it looks worse and worse every time you pick up a paper. Well, I had a great time at the far-famed Wilson Creek Bloody Hill Battleground while the celebration was going on, but I took sick Monday, the day after Sunday, when we are having our big, we had our big program Sunday night, going in high. And I was singing, I am a poor old rebel soldier and a long way from home. One of the famous old war folk songs, and really a beautiful old song, one of my favorites. Although my people for generations were on the Federal side of the line, I had a Union captain uncle mortally wounded in Kansas, died, and I had another uncle Union captain who fought with many wounds and several in the unspeakable Andersonville prison. He was put finally where they ate live owls or frogs raw if they crept into the awful cracks of that prison, as they often did. But of course, I guess many prisoners were starved on both sides. There was simply no food any place because there were no men at home to grow it. Only women trying to make crops and fight bushwhackers and raiders on both sides. But then, you know, that's all a Sunday school to what the next war will be, which seems shudderingly near. I wonder if we realize it. I have a sweet grandson who leaves tomorrow morning for California for 2 weeks training in California under fire on the hot and burning desert. And I have under fire the whole 2 weeks. And I have a grandson, another one, brown-eyed sweet boy in the standing army at Richmond, Virginia. Both just babies, it seems to me, but of course they'll always be my babies. Let's just don't talk about it. You know, I don't want to get like the old-time politicians who had just one speech and they made it all the time. They viewed with alarm and pointed with pride. It's time for me to stop. We had an old chap down home many years ago when I was a kid, and he made his political speech. Even at the 4th of July celebrations, they'd always bring him a pitcher of water and a glass, and he loved it. He thought it looked big and important. He'd drink water glass after glass there in the hot July sun, stand and listen to him 2 hours. Finally, old Uncle Sol Hembry, who'd stood about 2 hours in the hot sun listening to him yell, wave his arms around and drink water, he turned away and he said, well, that's the first windmill I ever saw run by water. Well, my time's up. I have to quit. Goodbye, and I'll be seeing you next Saturday, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.